Thank you so much, choir and Jenny and orchestra, Brother Lee. Just such a blessing. This whole morning has been so touching and inspiring as we've been remembering these precious loved ones who've gone on ahead of us. And I have a very special sermon today for this occasion, and it's in the first book of the New Testament. So would you take your Bible right now? If you've not brought one with you, just reach right in front of you and get one of those pew Bibles and turn with us to the first book in the New Testament. That's the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, toward the end of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse 6. And I just want to tell you that this story is told in a couple of other places in the New Testament with some added details. And one of the places that this story is told again is in John chapter 12. And I'll be referring to some of the things that are mentioned in John chapter 12's recording of this same story, but it is a story that speaks of a wonderful memorial gift, and I would like for us to read that scripture together, Matthew 26, verses 6 through 13. You read silently as I read aloud. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman... Now, John chapter 12 tells us who this woman is. This woman is no less than Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And so it says, a woman, in other words, Mary, came to him, that's Jesus, having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant. The disciple who spoke up in particular, according to John chapter 12, was Judas Iscariot, which tells us a lot about his heart. When he saw this sacrificial gift, he was indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial." According to John chapter 12, the context of this memorial gift was 6 days before the Passover, when Jesus would be crucified. And so he had Calvary on his mind. He had the idea that he was going to be giving his all there on the cross and going to be with the Lord in heaven. And read this concluding verse in verse 13. "Assuredly," Jesus said, "I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." A memorial gift. We have gathered here today to memorialize those who have gone before us, our forebears here at First Baptist Church of Noonan. And our church would not be what it is today if they had not left their legacy of faith, love, faithfulness, and service. And it inspires each one of us in this building to new levels of giving for God's honor and glory. And that's certainly what this story tells us about today as we read about Mary and her sacrificial gift to the Lord. There's three things I want you to see in this story. First of all, I want you to see this memorial gift, and number one, its cost. Verses 6 and 7 tells us that it was very valuable when it says, "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman," that's Mary, "came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table." Very costly, very fragrant. Again, John chapter 12 tells this same story. And in that account, Judas Iscariot estimated the cost of this alabaster box full of fragrant oil. He said it was 300 denarii. And that means nothing to us in our modern Western culture today, but I tell you what it meant back in Jesus' day. 300 denarii was 1 year's salary for a common laborer. So it was a very costly gift that this dear woman, Mary, had sacrificed for the Lord Jesus Christ. And why was Mary's gift so sacrificial? Why was it so extravagant? Because as I said before, it was only 6 days before the Passover when Jesus would give his all on the cross of Calvary. Jesus didn't give 90% of himself there. He didn't give 95% of himself. He didn't even give 99.9% of himself. He gave 100% of himself in totality as our perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And that is our inspiration in our giving toward the Lord. Certainly was the motivation for those who have gone on before us that we have memorialized here today, and how grateful we are for their example that they were not stingy in giving toward the Lord. They are our role models. The Old Testament book of 2 Samuel chapter 24 tells the story of King David. King David got it on his heart that he wanted to build an altar for the Lord so that he might be worshiped there. And a landowner learned of King David's building plans, and so he offered a parcel of land to King David to build this place of worship upon. But King David responded in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24 with these words, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord God with that which costs me nothing." In other words, I'm not going to pretend to worship God with something that has not stretched me and cost me something personally. That would be insincere worship. How grateful we are for the example of those who have gone on before us as they have sacrificed dearly so that we could enjoy this beautiful building and the beautiful buildings on this campus, so that we could enjoy the ministries that God has blessed us with. It would not be here without the giving and the sacrifice of those that have gone on before us. There's a story of two wealthy men who joined a group for a world tour. And they were going to Korea, and there was a missionary there who served as their guide and their interpreter. And as they were driving down the road, they saw a curious sight off the side of the road. They saw a rice paddy, and they saw a young Korean male pulling an old-fashioned plow, like a mule would do. But this wasn't a mule. This was a young Korean man pulling this plow, and behind the plow, with his hands on the handles and guiding it, was an older man. The sight so amused the two wealthy U.S. businessmen that they asked if they could stop. And when they did, one of them, a lawyer, took a photo of this incident. And then he came back to the car where the missionary was and said, "That's a curious sight." And the missionary said, "No, not really." He said, "I know that family, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this name right in Korean, but it's as best I can tell, the Chi Noi family. And their church, where there are members, is trying to build a new building to worship God. And they're collecting money for it. But this family had no money to give. So they sold their ox. And with the proceeds of that sale, they made their gift for this church building project. And now they are plowing the fields themselves this spring." there was silence amongst the two wealthy U.S. tourists until finally one of them broke the silence and said, "That must have been a sacrifice." And the missionary said, "No, they actually considered themselves fortunate to be able to have an ox to sell so that they could build a house of worship." You know, those two wealthy U.S. tourists returned home, and one of them, a lawyer, took the photo that he had taken of this young Korean boy and the older man plowing. He took the photo to his pastor's office, and he told him about the incident that he witnessed. And he said, "You know, I want to double what I wrote on my commitment card for our building project. And while I'm at it, I'd like for you to give me some plow work, because I have never given anything to this church that really was a sacrifice." He says, "The truth of the matter is, I have never given anything to this church that really, really cost me something." When Mary poured this fragrant oil on Jesus' head, it was costly. And it is our example. What a wonderful thing it is to memorialize these loved ones through these beautiful flowers here. If you come close to them, you can smell their fragrance. And the beautiful thing about flowers is that later in the day, when they're removed from the room, the fragrance remains behind. Have you ever been in a room full of flowers where all the flowers were removed, but the fragrance was still so powerful that it was in the room? That is a picture of our loved ones that we remember today. They are no longer physically present with us here, but the fragrance and the influence and the legacy of their life still circulates amongst us, influencing us towards sacrificial giving. But whenever I look at this story, I see not only this memorial gift and, number one, its cost, but I also noticed that it had critics. And we read about those critics beginning there in verse 8. "But when his disciples," and again, John 12 tells us it was Judas Iscariot leading the charge. "When his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" As I said earlier on, in John chapter 12, Judas had calculated the exact cost of this gift, 300 denarii. And he says that this could have been used to help the poor. Of course, Judas Iscariot was complicit. He said things that sounded right, but it was for the wrong reason. You know, a lot of times people do the right thing for the wrong reason. And I pray that you are not numbered amongst that group today. Doing the right thing for the wrong reason brings you no reward from the Lord. Judas was hiding his own stinginess by saying, "Hey, this gift could have been used to help the poor." Have you noticed that stingy people are really crabby people? They really are. Have you ever been to the beach and seen a bucket full of crabs? You know, you can put crabs in that bucket. You can fill it up all to the way to the rim, and those crabs are all clawing and struggling to get out of the bucket. I mean, even if they're up to the rim, but they're pulling each other down, further down in the bucket, so they can get a more advantageous spot, and then they're pulled down, and then they're pulled down, and it's just a vicious cycle. You can have a pot full of crabs, and they can't get out, because they're pulling each other down. That's what stingy people do. They're crabby people. They say to others who get it on their heart, "I believe God wants me to give sacrificially, and they say to them, hey, get back down here with the rest of us, crabby people and stingy people. You know, folks, we don't need to give in to that kind of negative peer pressure. We need to be pace setters like our forebears were and say that God is our standard. Judas was a stingy person. He had the number three on his mind, multiples of three on his mind. You know, he said, well, this gift cost 300 denarii. And it wouldn't be long after that that he'd have another multiple of three on his mind. As a matter of fact, if you just fast forward to verse 14, you can see that. It says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him, Jesus, to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. Judas was all about threes. 300 denarii, a day's or a year's worth of salary for a common laborer, and 30 pieces of silver to sell the only hope and light of this world. Stingy people are crabby people, and I pray that you're not one of them. But we see not only the cost of this gift and the critics of this gift, but we also see the commemoration of this gift. Continuing to read there in verse 10, where we left off, but when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Verse 13. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. It was a memorial gift, like many of our forebears that we remember today have made, so that the work of the Lord could go on effectively for His honor and for His glory. I would imagine that most everyone in this building does not know the name of Alfred B. Noble. Alfred B. Noble was born in 1833 and he died in 1896. He was a Swedish industrialist and philanthropist, but he was probably best known as a Swedish inventor. And he had discovered that if you took a combination of nitroglycerin and some absorbent like wood pulp or sodium nitrate, you could produce a powerful explosive that later came to be known as dynamite. Alfred B. Noble was excited about this discovery because he thought it would help in the mining industry. As you can imagine, there were many fatal accidents that led to the discovery and development of dynamite, not the least of which was a deadly explosion in one of his factories where his own brother died in the blast. The local newspaper got a hold of that and they incorrectly reported that Alfred Noble himself perished in the accident. Of course, that was not true. And then they went on to eulogize him negatively in this way, and I quote, Noble was the inventor of dynamite, a powerful explosive that could be used in modern warfare to kill hundreds, if not thousands, of people at one time. Of course, Noble was grieved over the death of his brother, but he was also troubled over the legacy that this newspaper had given to him. After all, he never foresaw it being used as a weapon of mass destruction. He saw it as aiding only in the mining industry. He was a peace-loving man. And from that day forward, Alfred B. Noble started rewriting his own obituary. He started rewriting his own memorial. He worked tirelessly to establish an award that would encourage accomplishments that promoted peace. This award has grown in influence to this very day. It bears the name of its original benefactor. You know it as the Nobel Peace Prize. Bears the name Alfred B. Noble, the inventor of dynamite, a product that would lead to the loss of many lives in battle, but is also the man who originated the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, dear friend, you can rewrite your own obituary today. We have read the obituaries of each one of these dear people that we remember today. We've seen the list of accomplishments and honors that they had. But for some of us, when we look back over our shoulder, we hang our heads in shame. We remember what we did 30 years ago. We remember what we did 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Maybe it wasn't that long ago. Maybe it was just last year. And we wonder, how am I going to be remembered? How am I going to be memorialized? It's not even a year ago. It's what I did last night. How am I going to be remembered? Well, friend, no matter what you've done in your past, no matter how many skeletons are in your closet, you can rewrite your obituary today by getting on the same path as Mary, who memorialized the Lord through her costly gift, and as those who have gone on before us. We've got a wonderful history of our church going back to 1828. In the year 1903, First Baptist Church of Noonan celebrated its silver diamond and jubilee anniversary, or its diamond jubilee anniversary, I should say. And they wrote for the generations to come these words, and I quote, "Let us not in this jubilee year rest on past endeavors. The work of the church is not done until the Lord comes again. So we must labor, not for ourselves alone or for the present generation, but also for those that are yet to come." That's why this chest of Joash is down here on the remembrance table. It is there to remind us of what is going to happen next Sunday when we have our Harvest Sunday. Hopefully all of you have received a commitment card. If you haven't, all you have to do is go by our office or call our office and you can get a Vision 2020 commitment card. And you can pray with your family about what God would have you give towards our upcoming building project, to do repairs, to expand our facilities so we can reach more people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have prayed and your family feels led to what you would give over the next 4 years, you can make a faith promise to God. It's just between you and God. You can write it down on here and put it in a privacy envelope that we're going to provide for you. Perhaps God is also going to lead you to give a one-time gift and put it in this privacy envelope to get the project started in a good way. And at the end of the service, after the invitation, our ushers are going to come to this section first, and they'll begin with the first row. Before that, the choir will be dismissed, and they will come down and join their families. My wife, Amy, will join me, and Amy and I will be the first ones to come and put our commitment in the chest of Joash. And then this section all the way to the back will come, and then the ushers will come to this section all the way to the back, and then this section from the front all the way to the back, and then to the balcony. And it'll be a wonderful time of worship. It'll be a time very much like what we just read about in Matthew chapter 26, when Mary sacrificed extravagantly for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't do it to brag on ourselves or to compete with other people. You know, the person sitting over here, the person sitting over there is not my barometer on how much I should give. The Lord Jesus Christ is my only barometer, and He gave His all. So I'm not looking at anybody else. I'm just looking at Jesus and what He did for me on the cross. You know, it could be that you're here today and you're lost without Christ. And I want you to know today, God doesn't want one red cent of your money. He wants you. That's why He suffered and bled and died on the cross, so that He would be your perfect sacrifice for sin. And all you have to do today is by faith, put your trust in Him, and He will become your Lord and your Savior. And you will have the sunlight of your soul radiate from you, joy unspeakable as you become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe God's speaking to your heart in a different way. You've already been saved, but you are excited about what's going on here in First Baptist Church, and you want to get in on the ground floor of this new chapter in the life of First Baptist Church. Maybe God's speaking to you to come and join the life of the church. That's why I'm going to be standing right here. In a few moments, we're going to be standing together. We're going to be singing a song. If God is speaking to your heart about any one of those decisions, to come and make your public stand for Christ, to come for baptism, to come and join the life of our church, you come and do it as we pray for you right now. Dear Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You that You gave Your all. You gave Your best when You gave us Your Son to die on the cross. And Father, today I pray that You would be with those who are struggling with decisions. Father, for those that need a Savior, I pray that they would come today by faith. Father, for those that need a church home, I pray that they would get in on the ground floor of this new chapter in our church's life and grow with us here at First Baptist. And Father, as You do all these things, we'll give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.